Okay, today's mitzvah is mitzvah Tav Pei Dalet, mitzvah 484. As we continue, the second mitzvah having to do with the isser of being involved with karbanos. The first one we did yesterday was the isser of avoda bekarbanos. One is not allowed to work the karban in various ways, which would violate similar to like there's an isser by paraduma as well, except by paraduma and eglarufa we learned that it passels the karban. It passels the animal from being a paraduma or an eglarufa. Well, here it's an isser lachachila, but it doesn't passel the karban. If there's a karban that I work, it still retains its kedusha. That was yesterday's isser. That's the isser, as it says at the beginning of Kal Bachar in Re'eh, lo sa'avod b'vchar sharecha. But then the next phrase is today's isser, v'lo sagos b'char tzonecha. Do not shear the b'char of your tzon, which is an example of a karban, but we mentioned that we learn out from that karban to all karbanos, the isser of Giza. One is not allowed to shear a karban, and as we saw yesterday, even after a karban gets a mum, and it's redeemed, there's still an Isser of Giza of Avoda. And that's the last point we mentioned, the Machlokas and the Achronim, how to understand that halacha. The fact that there's still an Isser of Giza of Avoda after a carbon is already redeemed. Is that because it retains some element of Kedusha, Lagabi, those halachos? Or do we say, no, it's totally, totally chulin, but the Torah demands, al-pigzeras ha-kasev, to make sure that you still treat it differently than any other chulin animal. So that's just a little bit what we ended off with yesterday. So today's issue specifically is the Isser of Giza. Let's read the Chinuch, and then we'll get back to the issues that relate to both. Says the Sefer Chinuch, Shalo nagos hatzemer mibehemas hakadshim, that we do not shear the wool from a karban. Delzenemar v'lo sagos b'char sonecha, as it says it by b'char, v'chal shara kadshim nilmadim in al-b'char, be'isser zen. All other karbanos are learned out from b'char. And all the Isser of Giza is the same thing as I wrote earlier. So now let's go back to some of the issues that the Minchas Chinuch brought up in this mitzvah. And that is, we mentioned yesterday, just one hosaf I wanted to add to the discussion of, maybe two hosafos, to the discussion of Chatzi Shir. The Minchas Chinuch noted that the Rambam says that the Isser of Giza, which is today's Isser, the Isser of Giza only applies to a certain amount. If I pull out a few hairs, if I shave a few hairs off of the animal, that won't be good enough unless I do the Shir that I would be chayev with on Shabbos. Because the Rambam said, V'lo yehezeh chomor mishabbos. The Minchas Chinuch left unanswered questions that doesn't seem to be the case. There are cases where it is more chomor than Shabbos, right? If you load up the animal in your house by avoda, you'd be chayev for kachim and you wouldn't be chayev for Shabbos. And Shabbos is different. Shabbos is melechas nachshavas. So why should you say that it is equal? Number one. Number two, he mentioned, the Minchas Chinuch mentioned, the difference between Shabbos and this context. This context, l'chora, it's on the person. It's on the person. And therefore, even if that Shabbos is on the person, and therefore if somebody shears from different animals, still it would be chayev. But here the ikar kped is the karban. And therefore if I shear from various animals, it would not be chayev. So he discussed the issue of chatzi shear, the issue of chatzi shear applying to the issue of avoda bekachim. We saw in Oz Dalid, the Minchas Chinuch quoted the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi that we says in Siman Pei Vav that the issue of chatzi shear should only apply by machalas asuros and not apply by other isurim, because by other isurim you don't do anything to show that you're being machshev this shear. Mashenkein by machalas asuros. So we mentioned that one of the defenses to defend the Chacham Tzvi against the attacks based on Rashi and Shabbos, Tafayin Dalid, based on the Magen Mishnah, the beginning of Hilchos Geneva, that they seem to say Chatzi Shir by other Isurim, that maybe what the Chacham Tzvi seems to say is that no, it means that Chatzi Shir, it's not Machalos Asuras versus everything else, but it's where you do an action to show that you take this Shir seriously versus other cases. So really, the rule is the Bal Yira Bal Yimatze, which is the context of the Chacham Tzvi, having chametz in your ass where you don't do anything to violate. That's where Chatzi Shir wouldn't apply. Just wanted to add to that, the Shakas Aryeh also notes the uniqueness of Bayura Bayimatze in terms of the Chatzi Shir issue, and that is, says the Shakas Aryeh, by all other halachos, you could say that there's a concept of Chatzi Shir. Because remember, what's the svara of Chatzi Shir given in the Gemara? Chazi l'itztarufe. If I eat a half a gazayas now, and in 3 minutes from now I eat another half a gazayas, so you see at point one, that Chatzi Shir is enough to be combined with the later point. So, and once I eat that later point, when did the Avera start? It started at T1 and it finished at T2. Says the Shagas Aryeh, that doesn't apply to Bali Rabbi Yamatzai, let's say I have a half a kazayas of chametz in my house at 10 a.m. And at 10:05 I get another half a kazayas. What, the Avera started at 10? No, it's all or nothing. At 10:05 I violate Bali Rabbi Yamatzai. So that's why Chazilat Tarufe cannot apply to, and that's Svara, and Chatzi Shir won't apply to Bali Rabbi Yamatzai, because Chatzi Shir requires it to go from the original point. that the Isra already started, Masha Inkein, Bal Yerubayim Atzei, it wouldn't start there. Okay, there's a big discussion of that. There's also a discussion, which we've touched on in the past, of Chatzi Shir when it comes to mitzvos. So where's the limit? Chatzi Shir in the Gemara is by Machalos Asuros. So the question we just asked is, does it apply to other Averos? The other question that's dealt with by the Achronim, not really by the Rishonim, is, does it apply to mitzvos? What happens if I eat a half a kazayas of matzah? Do I get any credit? Let's say it's all I have. Is there any worth eating half a kazayas of matzah? So that's the question that the Shmus Yaakov asks, Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, 1700s, and he says he thinks it's a before Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, let's say somebody swears, I swear that I will not eat matzah. Somebody makes that shvua, I swear that I will not eat matzah. So is that shvua binding? Says the Shulchan Aruch, shvua amar, shvua shlo ochal matzah stam, asr lacho matzah v'al pesach. He can't eat matzah. Can't eat matzah. Says the Shmus Yaakov, what do you mean, why can't he eat matzah? What? Fine, the shvua, we assume, he had in mind kezias, so why can't he at least eat half a kezias? It must be it's worthless. It must be there's no such thing as eating half a kezias. Chatzi shir is a chiddush din, it's learned from a pasuk. It's a chiddush din by averos, and maybe even specific averos, as we have been discussing, but not more than that. But that is a machlokas, whether that's true or not. There are gemaras in Meseches Yuma, Daflam Etas, which seems to say that the Kohanim used to eat chatzi shir of the lechem haponim. And the question is, do you say that's a rule for other mitzvos? Do you say karbanos are different? The Chasam Sofer suggests maybe karbanos are a din of just making sure it is eaten, not that you have to eat it. So maybe there's a katsu of eating chatzi shir. But by other mitzvos where you have a chovas gavra to partake of something, so maybe then we wouldn't say chatzi shir. Either way, that's an important discussion. Let's get back to our issue now. And that is, let's go back to some of the details of the halacha of Giza va'avoda. The Minchas Chinuch mentions in Oz Tes, based on what the Chinuch mentioned, what if a makdish one aver, a makdish an arm of a karban? Is there an isser of Giza on the arm or isser of avoda? So that's a suffik. How are you suffik in Masura Kula Begizva Vodo Eno Asura? You don't get Malkus for that. Says the Minchas Chinuch, L'chora, those who learned the first parak of Maseches Kedushin would appreciate this, says the Minchas Chinuch, that L'chora only applies for an aver she'ein hanashama tuliyabo. That only applies to an aver that the animal doesn't need to live, like a leg or a paw. But if it's, you're makdish the heart of the animal, if you're makdish the lungs of the animal, l'chora, of course, that's going to be a karbon, automatically. Pashta kedushin bekula, as the Gemara says in the first parak in kedushin, and therefore you should say there's an isra of gizva avoda by the entire animal. L'chora, he says, I didn't see that anywhere, but that should be the chilek. But he says, I'm not sure, let's say it's an aver that you do not need to live. Let's say the front right leg of the animal. So, there's suffix on the whole animal. But what about that leg itself? Is there an issur of shearing that leg? Because you are makdish that leg. So lechora, that should vada be usur. Today's issur of Giza. So he says, I'm not sure. Vani eni mevin divir abenu. He says, I'm not sure because the Chinuch just wrote, if you're makdish one aver, it's asura kula begiza. Vod is a suffix about it. Mevuar, he says, the whole thing is a suffix. He says, look, it sounds like he's even including that aver, that it's a suffix. But he says, L'chori should for sure get Malkus for that Aver. So either way, he leaves that Chinuch with Tzarach Ian, but that's in terms of Hikdash Aver. Remember the interesting case we also brought up yesterday at the end was if a Makdish an Ubar, if a Makdish a fetus of an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Isra of Giza. Today's Isra does not apply, but the Isra of Avoda does apply because it can cause depreciation. It can affect the Ubar inside, and therefore, no matter what you say about the Talmudic concept of Ubar Yerach Imo or Lav Yerach Imo, whether it's halachically considered an attachment of the mother animal, but here where you amakdish it and you treated it independently, then surely it's looked at separately, and if you weaken it by doing avoda with the mother, so that would be an Isser Dirabanan. Isser Dirabanan, says the Chinuch. Good, let's talk about some other issues related to Me'ila, because that's what the Chinuch talks about here. He says this is the Isra of Me'ila, just to go back for a minute. So what, as we mentioned yesterday, what's the source for Me'ila in the Torah? Nowhere in the Torah does it say, don't do Me'ila. It doesn't say that anywhere. It says, I bring a karban Me'ila, an asham Me'ilos, if I violate Me'ila. But that doesn't say the Isser. So what is the Isser of Me'ila? So it's very unclear. If you look in Rashi in Maseches Sanhedrin, on Daf Pei Dalet, Rashi says the Isser is a gzeira shava. Chet chet mitruma. We learn out Xer Shava from Truma. What a very unusual mucker for the Isra Me'ila. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Me'ila, also discusses this. And also notes that there is no Beferish Isser. What Isurim? What are the mitzvahs the Rambam discusses in Hilchas Me'ila? Three Isurim. Which ones? Number one asay, to pay chomesh and karban. In mitzvahs asay, to pay an extra 25% and bring a karban of me'ilah. That's the mitzvahs asay. What are the los asays? Okay, he's going to count the isra me'ilah? No such luck. The Rambam counts two isurim, are two averis, the isra of Oda Bekachim and the isra of Giza Bekachim. Those are the two of the 613 that the Rambam has in Hilchos Me'ilah. Meaning he doesn't have a separate Isra Me'ilah. These are the Averos that he has. But then the Rambam says, what's the specific Pasuk? So that's not here. That we had already. Says the Rambam in the third halacha, Ko'amo'el bezadon loke u'mishali mashapagam and a hektish barosho. If somebody violates Me'ilah, they get Malkus. Why? You need a Pasuk for Malkus. The Azhara shel Me'ilah mizeh, shene emar. The Pasuk that it says earlier here in Re'eh. Lo sucha lechol bisharecha ma'asar degoncha v'sirashcha v'sirecha. Remember that Pasuk? There were eight mitzvos in that Pasuk. Every word in that pasuk is another mitzvah. And it says, unadarecha, do not eat in your sha'arim, meaning don't eat outside of your shalayim what you're not supposed to eat. So that's the mitzvah. Mipiyah shmua lamdu, shezu ashara la ochel mi besar ola. So that's an isser of eating the carbon ola, which is supposed to be burned. Ho, v'kula, l'shem, v'hu adin, l'shar kol kodesh, shehu l'shem levado. That applies to everything else that is designated for kedusha. Not only a carbon ola that you eat, which has to be burned, but any kedusha bein bekachim mizbeach, bein mikachim bedek abayis, imnenem hem b'shaver prutalok. If you get a na, you get malchus. That's the iser. That's the makar for me'ilah. What's the svara for me'ilah? So again, the chinuch here talks about me'ilah. What's the svara? So that you have to mention the Rambam also. Not the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Me'ilah, but the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah. The Rambam there, we've mentioned this in Parsha Shiurim in past years, the Rambam says that the Torah goes down to the inner psyche of individuals. Ra'ui la'adam. A person should contemplate and think about mitzvos, even though we won't know for sure, you know, is this the essence of the mitzvah, but to make mitzvahs more tasty to us, we have to try to focus on them. And if it's a mitzvah that you don't know a reason for, don't think that anything less of that mitzvah. Don't go up to God, so to speak. Pen Yifrot spoke, quoting the Pesukim by Har Sinai. Don't think it's like anything else in the world. Oh, if you can't figure it out, it must not make sense. No, it makes sense. You just can't figure it out. We have to have the humility and the attitude that there are some things beyond us. Some things, you know, we won't be able to understand. Bo re'e, where do you learn this idea from? Me'ilah. Me'ilah. Uma im eitzim ba'avanim ba'afar va'efer. If wood and stone and dirt and ashes. Kiva shenikra shem adon ha'olam aleihem bidvarim bilvad niskachu. If I take dirt or if I take rocks and I makdish it, Hashem's name is associated with those rocks, and there's an avera to be noheg min hagchol, to treat it like stam, anything not belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. So a mitzvah which is purely from God, to treat a mitzvah as nothing, as pasnish, as divrei chol, if I don't take a mitzvah seriously, says the Rambam, that's an isser of me'ilah. Wow. Kavachomer lemitzvos shechagag lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo yevayit adam ahem. We shouldn't kick them. Bevedei shelo yodatama, because we don't understand them. V'leichapet dvarim asher alokein al Hashem v'chulu v'chulu. Says that's what we have to do. We have to try our best to understand. If we can't understand, we have to say, okay, it still has kedusha. It's related to God. It came from God, and therefore I have to treat it properly. That is the Isser, that's the message of the Isser of Me'ilah, says the Rambam. And he ends off, all karbanos kulam, michal achukim heim, all karbanos generally are chukim, so we do it because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it. But the message of Me'ilah is that even sticks and stones could gain kedusha, and we have to treat it properly. So surely mitzvos, which are purely spiritual in nature, and purely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that obviously we have to treat properly. So that is svara. That's the svara. So we spoke about the makar for Me'ilah, that was a svara for Me'ilah. Now let's talk about the mahus, the essence of Me'ilah. What is the essence of Me'ilah? This has we've touched on in the past, but it's based on Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim notes that we know there's a halacha, which we'll get to, Be'ez Hashem, a mitzvah, in Parshas Kisetze, where the Torah says that if there is a worker working in the field, he's allowed to partake of what he's working in. If he's working in grapes, he can eat a couple of grapes. Right, you're not allowed to muzzle the person. Just like you're not allowed to muzzle the animal, you're not allowed to muzzle the person, so to speak, and not let him partake. So if it's grapes, if it's peaches, whatever he's working in, there's an understanding in the Torah that we have to let the worker partake. The Gemara has limudim to teach me that even if it is a hektish field, I'm not allowed to partake. If it belongs to Hektish, though, I can't partake. Asks Tosfos, the Gemara does not ask the question about if it's a Nazir, is a Nazir allowed to eat the grapes? Of course he's not allowed to eat the grapes. There's a separate Isra of Nazirus. Or if it's Meiser Sheni fruit, am I allowed to eat it outside of Yerushalayim? Of course you're not. It's only if it's Mutter. So why does the Gemara require a Pasuk, asks Tosfos, to teach me that if it's Hektish, you're not allowed to eat the grapes? Says Reb Chaim, beautifully, this is one of the Rayas, that at root, Mi'ila is an Isser Gezel. That's what it is. It's stealing from the Beis HaMikdash. There's Gezel Hedyot, and there's Gezel Hektish. And at root, this is a Halacha of Gezel. If that is true, that's why there's a Havamina that we would have thought it's Mutter. Because after all, the worker is allowed to partake of the owner's fruit, even though it's his, meaning the Torah matir is the Isser of Gezel Hedyot, so that's why I would have had a Havamina that maybe Mi'ila is also matir, because at root, it is an Isser of Gezel. Kamash Malan, that's why I need the Pasuk to say it's not. But at root, that principle still sticks. And that's where Reb Chaim explains that Mi'ila is mitztaref lizman meruba, just like stealing. If I steal a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow, and it adds up to a pruta, I violate. So to Mi'ila. If I get benefit from something belonging to the Beis HaMikdash today, and I get benefit from something belonging to the Beis HaMikdash in 3 days from now, it's mitzaref. It's all mitzaref to one iser of Mi'ila. Good. Does Mi'ila apply today? Bizman hazeh? So that's one reason that we try not to have karbanos lying around. Right? If there's a bechor, we don't like to have a bechor, so a bechor is automatic. That's why, generally, if we know our animals are going to have a bechor, we do shutfis with a non-Jew. The Shulchan Aruch says, do shutfis with a non-Jew, so that's mafkia, that prevents the kedusha of bechor from kicking in. So we try not to have karbanos walking around. The Chinuch did say, I don't know if I read it yesterday, at the end of Taf Pei Gimel, let's read it, V'noleg Yisur Zeh B'chol Makom V'chol Zman. This is replies always, B'zachar B'nekevis, men and women. Afa B'sha'amru, even though it says in Avodah Zarah, She'ein Makdish B'heimel Karban, V'lo Lebedek Abayis B'zman Hazeh, we should not be Makdish today. Now I have such emuna that the base of Midrash is going to be built tomorrow, I'm going to be Makdish a Karban today. No! That's not frum. That's terrible. Right? We shouldn't do that. Because it's just going to lead to, if Mashiach doesn't come, hopefully it will come. Hopefully he's right. But we can't rule ain't somchen on that. So that's why you shouldn't do that. But if somebody does it, Mishaykdish, if somebody does it, then all the isurim applying to that animal would apply bizman hazeh. So forgetting karbanos. Karbanos, let's say most people will not be makdish their karban. The question is, what about mi'ila regarding, what do we have? We have the kotel. So that's a big discussion relating to different issues, items that are issues, halachic issues related to the Kotel. Number one, we assume, the Kotel goes back to the Medrash. The Medrash in Shmos Rabbah already says, La'olam ein Shechina zaza mikosel amaravi. The Shechina hasn't left the Western Wall. Sh'ne'emar hineza omid achar kaslenu. The Midrashim already, 2,000 years ago, written in the times of the Tanaim, they already knew, it's amazing, 2,000 years ago they already predicted that the Kotel will never be destroyed. And here it is, 2,000 years later, it's still here. What is that the wall to? So, Rov Haposkim assume, there is a day of the Radvaz that says otherwise, but we assume that the Kotel is the wall of Har Habayis. It's not the Kotel of the Azara, it's the wall of Har Habayis that is based on the length, based on the height, based on where the southern wall excavations are. That's what we assume. So the discussions are, in terms of Me'ila, well, first of all, am I allowed to go into the shade of the Kotel on purpose to get shade? Am I allowed to stick my hand into the kotel to put a kvittel in? Am I allowed to lean on the kotel? Am I allowed to lean on the kotel? If I want to daven, and many people, they're going to go to lean on the kotel. So these are big discussions in the poskim, and one should ask, again, I'm not poskining here, but one should ask the local rav in terms of what is allowed and what is not allowed. The minhag olam is obviously lakula. The minhag olam is to be mekel in terms of leaning. The Rav Tokachinsky has a piece where he says, you're allowed to lean, letzarach mitzvah. So if you're daving and if you're crying and if you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, that's not going to be me'ila. He also has a line where he says, kol she in ir ha-kodesh v'amikdash, in his lengthy discussion about all of these issues, he says, kol she yesh lo heter l'kohanim, ain bo me'ila. Anything that the Kohanim use for their own purposes, there can't be me'ila by. And there are many offices on Har HaBayis that the Kohanim use for their own purposes. So there can't be me'ila. But Rav Sternbach and others, other poskim aren't so clear, so one should just be careful in terms of how they use and they position themselves near the Kotel. If you look in 2 points, the Tshuvas Sha'arei Tzion, which are the Tshuvas of the Rav of the Kotel, Rav Rabinovich. So he has a piece where he talks about the status of the Kotel Plaza, And he discusses many of these issues, but then he says, I heard recently, people told me that sometimes people try to chip off a piece of the kotel to take with them, to take home with them, so they have a remembrance, a zecher of the Western Wall. He says, number one, it's terrible. Number one, there's probably me'ila. If you're going to take the actual wall, the actual rocks, he says, number one. Number two, there's probably an isser of destroying. Lo sasun ken l'shem elokeichem. We discussed that aveira. Not destroying a shul, a fish. The whole question is, does it apply to a shul? Of course it applies to the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, destroying that, he says, vade, vade, it's terrible to even suggest and want to do such a thing. Rav Asher Weiss, in his first volume of Tshuvas, also discusses the halacha of the Kedusha of the Kotel Plaza, and interestingly, he talks about in front of the gate and behind the gate, because sometimes when you have very busy days like Hoshana Rabbah and like other days, so even all the way back there are people davening. So does that have the status of Beis HaKnesses? Does that not have the status of Beis HaKnesses? So this is a fascinating discussion that he has in terms of the different areas. What if something is, what about every street, right? The Mishnah is in Tainus say, sometimes on fast days, they used to go out to the street and bring the Aron there. Does that give the street the status of a shul? Of course not. So it could be that even though once in a while, people dive it all the way back, that doesn't give it the status of Beis HaKnesses. But he talks about all of these issues, but it all has to do with the issues of Me'ilah and the status of Beis HaMikdash Bizman HaZeh. Again, these are very important issues, but we will stop there. That's related to the Isser of Giza of Kachim. Again, we didn't get to, but there's a big discussion of Isser Giza in Kachim as compared to Isser Giza in Hilchos Shabbos and elsewhere, but hopefully we'll have another chance to do that another time. Okay, we'll stop here.